Everybody, well, you get hold of a Bible this morning. We'll come to God's Word. And how many of you have made New Year's resolutions? Now, usually it's a practice at the end of the previous year, at the beginning of the new year, we feel the slate has been wiped clean. Let's start the new year. And let's resolve to do something. And it's good, you know, to change, to want to improve and change. And some people, I'm just reading out some resolutions people have made. So one person said, I want to learn something new each day. Okay, that's a good thing. Somebody else said, I want to pick up a hobby. Play more. Exercise more. Anybody that resounds with somebody? Okay, eat fewer calories. Lose weight. Write a business plan. Read more books. Be more grateful. Stop procrastinating. Spend more time in nature. Okay? And it goes on and on and on. So we can have different goals. Some are big, some are small. You know, it could be, I want to get a promotion this year. Or I want to make sure, maybe I'll get married this year. Or so we can have different goals, resolutions, plans for the year. But as we begin 2017, I want to place a goal before you. And this goal is a biblical goal. I said, you know, all these things are nice. They are, you know, lose weight, exercise more, get a promotion, pick up a hobby, enjoy more time in nature. They're nice. But they're not really life-defining and life-changing. Yeah? They're small. There is a much bigger goal. And today I'd like to submit and place before you a huge New Year goal. Okay? And this is it. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And that plan is that we become like Jesus. That's the goal. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, Paul writing says, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. So God's plan for you, if you are a follower of Jesus, is that you would become like Jesus. Now, isn't that a wonderful New Year's resolution or goal to keep in mind? Yeah. This is the goal since we came to Christ. But is it up on the screen? Yeah. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And I want to submit this goal to you. Would you say that, Lord, in 2017, my goal, my resolution is to become more like Jesus. All right? More like Jesus. How many want to become more like Jesus? Yeah? We want to become more like Jesus. That's a good goal. But I want to show you from Scripture that that really is a goal. Okay, let's look at another one. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, follow my example. Or he's saying, imitate me. Do what I'm doing. And then he says, as I follow the example of Christ. So Paul is following Christ and doing what Christ is doing. And he's saying, now you follow me as I follow Christ. Shravanti, is the scriptures not coming up? Is there a problem? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1 to 3. Okay. Then Jesus told his disciples, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Okay, there again, we see that Jesus is saying, hey, this is your goal in life. Follow me. What did he mean, follow me? You know, does it mean wherever Jesus goes, we walk and go behind him? No. What it means is, we see how Jesus lived, we live the same way. We see what Jesus did, we do the same thing. Okay? So we see that there again. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, John says, whoever, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did, or must walk as Jesus did. What does it mean, must walk as Jesus did? You know, some Jesus walked like this. Is that the way to walk? No. It means, how did Jesus live? We need to live the same way. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter says, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps." 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow in his steps." What does it mean, follow in his steps? Okay, Jesus walked there, I'll do this, I'll do that. No, that's not what it means. It means, how did Jesus live? You need to live like that. Okay? So I think we've looked through enough scriptures this morning to realize that if you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus expects you to do what he did, to live how he did, you know, and that is an expectation, to become what Jesus became. Now, I'm sure all of us will agree that that is what it is. It's true. We want to follow Jesus. But what exactly does it mean to walk as Jesus did, to walk in his steps, to follow him? What does it mean? Because where is Jesus today? I can't see Jesus. Can you see Jesus? Okay, where is he? How do we look? Where do we look? And it's true, he's there, but we look at Jesus through the Word. Okay? The Bible contains everything that Jesus said and Jesus did. And we look at that as our blueprint and say, Lord, okay, what does the Bible say? Let me then see, read it, understand it, and then obey it. Would you agree? Yeah, would you agree? That's what it is. And really, because we can't see Jesus. We're not there 2,000 years ago when he walked on this earth. So the only sure way to follow him is to have the Bible, to read it, and to do it. Now, we need the Holy Spirit for that. Okay, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we won't be able to understand it. Okay, and Paul said this. He says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." A second way we can become like Jesus is to have living examples in our lives whom we are following. Okay? And they're saying, so you're saying, you're looking at people in the church and saying, is that person following Jesus? Okay, I'm going to see how I can be like that person. That's another way to do it. Okay? So there are two ways. The first way is we must read the scripture and do what it is. And the second way is like this. You know, because everything we need to do is not, how we need to do it is not written down in the scripture. For example, how do we bring up children? How do we love our wives? The Bible says love your wives, but exactly how do we do that? You know? And we can look at flesh and blood examples of other Christians and say, okay, that's what it means. That's how we bring up children. That's how we love our wives. Okay, so two ways, and we see them in scripture. But this morning, I'm going to begin a short, maybe a three-part series, where we look at the Gospels. The Gospels contain the life of Jesus, and we look at that, and we say, okay, what did Jesus do, and how we can follow him? So are you ready? Okay, are you ready? Now that's the goal. It's not just to teach you, but it's for you to, for you and me to read it and say, okay, that's what Jesus did. Lord, help me to do the same. Because God's plan and his purpose, as Peter and Paul have said, in choosing you, is that you and I will become like Jesus. It's not automatic, it's systematic. We've got to do it systematically. So let's start in Matthew chapter 3. Turn to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that your plan for each one of us is to become like you. Lord, the way this plan is accomplished is through your word and through your spirit and through living godly examples that we follow. Lord, I pray this morning that as I bring this word, you would open our hearts and our minds to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay? This morning we have time for just two things. Just from Matthew chapter 3 right up to 4 and 5 onwards, there are many, many different ways to follow Jesus. Okay? And so I want to urge you in the next couple of weeks to read through the Gospel of Matthew and in a little notebook, write down everything that Jesus did. Will you do that? Okay, just write. Because if we want to do what he did, we need to first of all know what he did. So just write it down. Okay, this is what he did. So let's follow me. Verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. In Matthew, we see Jesus is just beginning his ministry. And it begins by saying the first thing that he did at the beginning of his ministry is this. What did he do? He got baptized. The first thing, he started his ministry. The first thing he spoke about in the Gospel of Matthew is about baptism. He says, but you know, so he came to John, who was already baptizing in the River Jordan. And we need to get a little background to this. What was the significance of being baptized? Okay? So we'll look at that. So what John the Baptist did was he, you know, if you look at chapter 3, he went around baptizing people. In John chapter 3, verse 5, people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. So here is John the Baptist. You know, he was related to Jesus. He was a cousin of Jesus. Okay, second cousins, I think. And he was a different person. Okay. He wore clothes, John chapter 3, verse 4. He wore clothes made of camel's hair. Any of you wore any clothes made of camel's hair? You know? And he had a leather belt around his waist. Today we have leather belts, but in those days it must have been something strange. His food was locusts and wild honey. Okay, so he ate differently, he dressed differently, he looked differently, In chapter 3, he says, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And somehow, people from all over, the Spirit of God touched them, and they came, it says in verse 6, confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the River Jordan. So here was John, he's telling people, Repent, the kingdom of heaven is near. And people came to him as a sign of, they were sinners, they were repenting, and they were baptized. Now, I'm sure we all know this, but baptized means they were immersed. Turn to somebody and say, immersed. Okay, that's the meaning of baptism. Okay, because there was a river, John the Baptist took them, put them in the river, took them out. Now, their being baptized was a sign that they were sinners. That was a significance. They said, I'm a sinner, I repent, and I'm being baptized in water, acknowledging my sinfulness and that I'm turning from my sinful ways and living a new life. That's what it was. Now you can imagine John's shock when Jesus comes to him. Was Jesus a sinner? Jesus was sinless. He was the Son of God. John the Baptist in the Gospel of John says, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus was perfect. He was the sinless Son of God who came to take away sins. And he comes to John and says, Baptize me. John is saying, you know, John must have, What are you talking about? You're sinless. You're supposed, you baptize me. He said, how can I baptize you? You know, then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him. He said, I need to be baptized by you. I'm the sinner. You're the sinless one. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Significant thing. Jesus said, it is proper for us. That means John had a role to play in baptizing Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm not a sinner, but I'm identifying myself with sinful man. Okay, now here's the clue. Jesus came on earth and he lived the kind of life God wants you and he wants me to live. That was the model. So Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but he says, I'm setting up a model. This is the model. You start by baptism. Okay? And so John consented. John said, okay, if you say so, I'll do it. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. He went up out of the water. That's a clue. That means in order to get up out of the water, you have to first get into the water. Okay, that shows you that baptism is immersion. It's in the water and out of the water. Sadly, many churches, some churches, not many churches, but lots of churches today, they practice a kind of sprinkling. Have you seen that? Okay, now, where that custom came from many centuries ago, but it's not the baptism that Jesus took. That's not what it is about. Okay. So we see Jesus' example of baptism there. Not only do we see his example, we see the biblical command. Okay, turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them. This is after he died and he rose again from the dead. And it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Wow. Jesus has been died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He got victory over death. And he comes to the disciples and says, all authority in heaven. And that means I am the highest authority. You remember on the, was it the 8th of November or the 9th of November? Prime Minister Narendra Modi did something. Demonetization. With the authority that he had as the Prime Minister, he says 500 and 1,000 rupee notes are no longer legal tender. Okay? How could he do that? Because he had the authority. Get it? Can you do it? Could I do it? No, we can't do it. But he had the authority to do it. The same way here, Jesus is saying, listen, I have authority not just over India. Now what Prime Minister Narendra Modi did affected only India. Didn't affect the US dollar or the euro or the yen. It only affected Indian currency. That was the realm of his authority. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So the command I'm giving does not just affect India. It affects the whole world. Okay? So it is a serious command. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So secondly, we see that not only did Jesus do it, he also commanded us to do it. Are you seeing that? So first of all, we've seen an example. Then we see Jesus himself saying, do it. That is, go and baptize people. Okay? And thirdly, we see it being outworked in the Bible. So if you look at Acts chapter 16, I'm just looking at a couple of examples here this morning to show you that, you know, did the early Christians understand what Jesus said? Jesus said, baptize. What did they understand? What did Peter? What did Paul understand? Let's look at that. In Acts chapter 16, on verse 13, this is Paul went, he says, on the Sabbath we went outside to the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. Remember what I said earlier about women and prayer? See, the women were there. Where were the men? I don't know. Anyway, one of these listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us home. Okay? So here we see that Paul understood Jesus' command as this: you believe in Jesus and you get baptized. Okay? And that's what it is. Look at Acts chapter 8. We have the Philip and the Philippian eunuch, Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 onwards. Okay, talks about this man. He was an official. Verse 27. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasure of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. Anyway, it goes on. The end result of this is Philip talks to him and explains the gospel. Okay? And look at verse 35. Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. That we are sinners, we need salvation, Jesus has died on the cross, that if we believe in Him, we must be baptized and we will be saved. That was the gospel. Verse 36. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Okay? So here we see Philip. What did he understand by Jesus' things? He understood it as this: tell people the gospel. When they repent, baptize them in water, and it's baptism by immersion, and that was it. Okay? So, the first thing we see is this. Jesus was baptized in water. He commanded his followers. If you are a follower of Jesus, how does it affect you? Two ways. Okay? One way is you need to be baptized. That's the command for us. The other way is, actually, you need to baptize others. Did you think of it that way? You know, the command in Matthew 28 is, you baptize people, not get baptized. Okay, so we have a responsibility to help people to get baptized. That's the command. Okay, just like Philip did, just like Paul did. Okay. Let's look at very quickly at the second thing that happened with Jesus. Okay? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. First, Jesus was baptized in water. Second, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's what it is. So here we see Jesus was filled in the Holy Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us the same thing. It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. First command, be immersed with water. Second command, be full or immersed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? In Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist says this in verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Okay? So, same word. Baptize means to immerse. And God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Was Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit? Yes. Okay. Where is the command? So we've seen the example. Jesus was filled. Where is the command? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Jesus died. He rose again. He appeared to his disciples. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Who's saying this? Jesus. That's the command. He's saying, listen, the Christian life is a journey. He's telling the disciples, you've just been baptized with water. John did that. But the next step is you need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, immersed with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, what does this Holy Spirit do? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. He says, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you will become powerful. Okay? Maybe you're fearful, you'll become bold, you'll be filled with power, and you will be able to tell people about Jesus. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. All right? So we see Jesus was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He commanded his disciples to wait till they received the Holy Spirit. Now let's see how it was practiced by the early church. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. So the disciples obeyed Jesus. So we're going to wait. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Okay? So they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. One of the things that happened is they spoke in tongues. Okay? That was one of the outcomes or signs that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Look at Acts chapter 8. So this was all the disciples. In Acts chapter 8, we see Philip in Samaria. Acts chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, they had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we see that there was a process. The Samaritans had been baptized in water but not yet received the Holy Spirit. And then they received the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, we had Cornelius and Peter, where Peter goes to Cornelius. And in verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, Acts chapter 10, 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, the Jews who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on even the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Okay? Peter understood that when people came to faith, they needed to be baptized in water and they needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Okay? And in this case, look at this. Peter continues, verse 46. Then Peter said, can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, in this case, it was a reverse. They first were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they were baptized in water. Do you see that? Anybody know why? Because these were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Okay? And at first, the Peter and all thought that the gospel was only for the Jews. But really, it wasn't for the Jews only. It was for everybody, including the Gentiles. And so Peter, through a vision, went to Cornelius, and he preached the gospel to him. God told him to do that. And as he preached it, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so Peter said, listen, if God has given them the Holy Spirit, means he's accepted them, they can also be baptized in water. And they were baptized in water. Acts chapter 19. This is Paul. While Paul was at Corinth, verse 1, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them a question. You know, sometimes we meet Christians, right? What's the kind of question you ask them? Listen to what Paul asked. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Do you think it was important to receive the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yeah, there is. Okay, verse 5. On hearing this, they were baptized. He found out they really weren't Christians. So on verse 5, on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's baptism in water. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were 12 men in all. Okay, I'll just wind up here. Our New Year's resolution is that we want to become more like Jesus. If you want to follow in His footsteps and walk as He did, we've got to go to Scripture as we've gone today. We see the life of Jesus. We saw two things today. He was baptized in water, baptized in the Holy Spirit. We see the commands. Jesus has commanded them. That means it's important. These are not suggestions, but they are commands from the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth. One day, we will stand before Jesus and give an answer as to why we have obeyed or disobeyed His command. Then, we see how the early church understood these commands. Okay? So they understood it. When somebody came to faith, they immersed them in water and they prayed for the Holy Spirit that they would. And the end result was they spoke in tongues, they praised God, they prophesied different things at different times. What do you need to do? If you're saying, I follow Jesus, then now our life must mirror this. If you've not yet been baptized in water, that means immersed in water, after you've come to faith in Christ, that is something that is clear that needs to be done. Okay? I just want to say that if you look through the New Testament, people didn't wait a long time before they got baptized. Okay? In Acts chapter 16, just throwing that in there, verse 31. Paul and Silas were in jail in the middle of the night. They were singing songs. Okay? And there was an earthquake and their chains came off. And this is what happens. Verse 29, Acts chapter 16, verse 29. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. Can you imagine? It's past midnight. At past midnight, they got baptized. Okay? You look at the example of the Apostle Paul himself in Acts chapter 9. Okay, he was blinded. 3 days he couldn't see anything. He couldn't eat anything. He couldn't, you know. And Ananias comes, lays his hands on him. And this is what happens. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. What was the next thing that Saul did? He got up and was baptized, and after taking some food, he regained some strength. 3 days he hadn't eaten. He couldn't see anything. The moment his eyes opened, he said, first baptized, then food. Okay? So, if you've not yet been baptized, I want to urge you, God is speaking. Get baptized. All right? For those of us who have already been baptized, it's our responsibility to go and make disciples of people and say, listen, get baptized. Okay? Secondly, filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled definitely once, when we are the first time, but we need to be regularly filled with the Holy Spirit where we receive His power to do great things. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, there are some signs. Are you prophesying? Are you speaking in tongues? Is there a boldness in speaking the gospel? Are you seeing the gifts of the Spirit, healings and other things happen? Are you seeing the fruit of the Spirit manifested in your life? Okay? So, I want to give us all some homework to do. Over the next few days, continue reading from Matthew chapter 3. And note down in your journal everything that Jesus did. And say, am I walking as Jesus did? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning that You have not left us to grope in the dark, but You have clearly set an example for us to follow. Lord, I pray for Your grace upon us, Lord, that this year, 2017, we would walk and live as You did. We would follow Your example, Lord. Would You give us the grace to do that? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.